Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, calling for sunny skies, maybe a little bit warmer, high around 68 degrees. Temperature-wise, in the area, we start out in Kenosha. The reading is 57, 58 in Burlington, Milwaukee 59, also 58 degrees in Racine. Racine Unified, asked by officials for the village of Wind Point, do something about your former elementary school that's been sitting vacant since last used as a temporary home to Mitchell Elementary School students after they had a fire at their Drexel Avenue site. That was in 2014. Wind Point Elementary itself had been closed the year before. Village officials who'd prefer the building be torn down have voiced the concerns of residents regarding the care of the property or lack thereof. It led to a recent meeting that included school board president Robert Whitkey. In a statement, Unified Communications Director Stacy Tapp says the district is working on a plan that considers the cost of environmental abatement and demolition of the building, as well as a selling price of the property, to get a clear picture of the impact on our facilities budget. The statement goes on to say that options will be given to the board when all the information is available. Well, there was lengthy, sometimes emotional, discussion by the Racine School Board at last night's work session regarding a code of conduct and ethics statement for district employees first introduced last month by administration. It got swift criticism from the teachers for being, among other things, vague. Social media is included in the code of conduct that Chief of Human Resources Julie Landry presented for review and which was on the district website for a month. Board President Bob Whitkey noting other top districts have an ethics policy code. This is an issue, he said, for the superintendent and for administration by the board's own documented policy.
And I think that we have to make sure that we stay at a governance level and leave the management to the people that we've entrusted to it. And I think sometimes we spend a great deal of time down at the individual implementation side and talk in too much detail about the actual management that has to go on.
Julie McKenna indicated it's a board policy change that should have been reviewed with public input. Mike Frontier, stating the board was being tone-deaf, wondered, what has this gained us? Board Vice President Dennis Weiser, a one-time member of the REA, indicated a lot of the email responses to the policy from the teachers were geared at political organizing. Board member Michelle Duco stated, I've worked multiple places, and some of the things I read in there in reference to the policy, I do have a big issue with in defense of our teachers. The creation of a commission to study the use of social media by city government approved by the Kenosha Council last night, that despite a warning from one of the aldermen that the effort might be doomed to failure. Kevin Matheson noted the council passed a resolution more than 3 years ago to mandate the city use social media, but he said Facebook does not allow one-way pages, as Mayor John Antaramian suggested is his preference. Alderman Scott Gordon urged the council to reject Matheson's recommendations of the commission that's going to be put together. That'll tell the council what is and isn't allowed.
If they say, you know what, you can't do a one-way Facebook page, okay, that'll be in their recommendations. But to start making amendments like that, the commission will do their work. I mean, there's some players in the Facebook world on this commission, okay? And there are some who aren't players on this commission. And some of the citizens on there have used Facebook to get you elected, Mr. Mayor.
Council also rejected an amendment by Matheson to require the commission report in 90 days instead of next May, but they did add an investigation of the Twitter account. Resolution adopted on a vote of 16-1. It was Matheson voting against it. One of the agenda items up for a vote of tonight's Burlington Common Council meeting, an ordinance to amend park regulations for prohibiting the abandonment of any boat or watercraft regarding city property. Committee of the Whole discussion about it recently had Public Works Director Jim Burglas showing aldermen pictures of boats that created what he said was a mess on the waterfront. New alderman Susan Cott noted that boats left at the waterfront, that goes back to the old days, even included her father.
This is what they always did, because this was just a park over here with a pond. And they just go fishing. They drag the boat up and then they walk away. This has been going on forever, so this is going to be hard to change. But if you're going to have them get out by a certain date, you're going to have to post something on that post.
Burgos likened the abandoned boats to junk cars in the front yard, called it an eyesore to a neighborhood and to the community. It's been 175 years since the founding of what was Racine Threshing Machine Works in the year 1842 by a man whose name is synonymous with Racine, Wisconsin, Jerome Increase Case, and that milestone was celebrated at the Mount Pleasant Tractor Plant by company officials, employees, local dignitaries, and a special guest, House Speaker Paul Ryan. The local celebration also had a little family connection. Caleb Jerome Case, the great-grandson of the great man himself, who lives in Marinette, made a return appearance. K.J. Case had been at the Mount Pleasant site 6 years ago, along with five other relatives, for a personal tour of the facility. He was telling stories Monday that gave the audience members a sense of who J.I. Case really was. Current Case IH Chief Executive Officer Richard Tobin talked about the long history of the company and how over the 175 years it's responded to the needs of its customers. Going into this year's celebration, KHIH President Andreas Clauser noted in a statement, "I'm certain that if Mr. Case could see the company today, he would instantly recognize that the core values he championed all those years ago are still at the heart of everything we do." A local activist urged the Kenosha City Council last night to work to try to save the Pick and Save store in the Brass neighborhood. And after the announcement came last week that the store was going to be closing, the announcement from Kroger, which purchased Pick and Save. Former Alderman Catherine Marks noted that when the council approved the development of the grocery store at the Brass site, there was a study that indicated the area could support even more. Marks also indicated that the city ought to be working with the neighborhood to try to find a solution and that a full-service grocery store is needed in that area.
You have the small grocery store downtown here, but nothing to that magnitude that provides the service that this store does.
Meanwhile, she said the city also needs to figure out how to finish the development of the Brass site. Tattoo business is going to be allowed in more areas of Kenosha, the council approving amendments to the zoning ordinance last night to allow them in all the B2 and B3 business districts they'd only previously been allowed in Uptown and the Downtown business districts. And the Kenosha Council approving changes to the city's sex offender residency ordinance. City officials began to look at the ordinance based on lawsuits filed against the city and Pleasant Prairie challenging the rules. Helmets to Heal is a fairly new Racine area nonprofit started last year by former Horlick High School assistant football coach Kyle Oppenheimer. He's trying to reduce the risk of concussions in football, and S.E. Johnson has contributed to the cause with $7,500. The money, providing 26 energy-absorbing football helmets to Racine Youth Sports, also the purchase of what are called King Devic tests, that is. It's a sideline concussion screening protocol for youngsters as young as 5 years old. S.C. Johnson Corporate Communications Executive Director Kelly Samro said, "We are proud to support Helmets to Heal with a donation that helps to foster a safer environment on the field and good sportsmanship in Racine." And if you did it before, you can do it again. This year, it's coming back, the Color Run. A few months ago, though, the Color Run was not going to be coming back, but there was a public outcry, so it's going to be back in Racine this September. Runners in the event, of course, showered with colored powder at various spots along the route. A news release coming out that says local residents pleaded for the Color Run to return. It will again in September for a sixth year. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.